high above the windy blue skies of Earth, slowly rotating at the edge of deep space, is the Arthur C. Clarke Astronomical Observatory, Starlab. On Earth's moon, a quarter of a million miles beyond Starlab, Omega General Industries have uncovered the corroded hull of an ancient spacecraft during a lunar mining operation. Excavating further, they discover the mummified bodies of 50 extraterrestrial humanoids and a strange statue made of jet black crystal. Mining Operations Director Ray Farrell contacts the science complex at Lunar Base 12.
Roger, Omega General. Mine pit 15, 9 kilometers due north of Clavius. Our research team is on the way. Don't touch anything until they get there. Lunar Base 12 standing by.
2 hours later, Professor Victor Conrad and his research team arrive at the excavation. They finish their preliminary investigation at 08:30 the next morning.
Hey, how's it going, Professor?
Well, the spacecraft's been under the lunar surface for close to 1,000 years, and the aliens were killed by something that turned their eyes and nervous systems into black crystal.
Black crystal? Like the statue?
The body samples and the statue samples are identical.
Well, what do you make of that damn statue anyway? The thing gives me the creeps.
I've seen that image 100 times, Mr. Farrell, carved in stone on most of the Gothic cathedrals of Europe. It's a gargoyle, a supposedly mythical creature that symbolizes ultimate spiritual evil.
1,000-year-old alien spacecraft buried beneath the lunar surface, and with it, a 4-foot-tall gargoyle made of black crystal. Mysteries from a forgotten time, waiting for a solution as part one of the ISA conspiracy, The Darkbringers, takes us from the bright side of the moon into the unearthly light and shadow of alien worlds.
To Starlab Control.
This is Starlab. Go ahead.
Professor Conrad is standing by for Dr. Cassidy.
She's right here, Professor.
Mora, has the statue arrived yet?
It'll be here in about a half an hour. We heard from the shuttle a few minutes ago.
How is it being transported to Earth?
We've got an SET cruiser standing by.
Well, tell them to be careful with it, Mora. When we ran the thermal tests, it started to emit an ultraviolet glow that had all of us hallucinating.
Hallucinating? What do you mean?
For a few minutes there, we thought the statue was coming to life. Scared the pants off of us.
Coming to life? How did you get it to stop radiating?
Well, Arthur had the presence of mind to shut down the thermal generators, but the statue was still about 10% active at room temperature. We finally sealed it in a small liquid oxygen pod. As long as it's kept cold, it's completely inert.
We'll be careful with it, Victor. Anything else?
Yes, we're going to continue experimenting with the statue samples we've kept here. I'm setting up a photon saturation test now, and I'd like to interface our data terminals with your Mycroft computer so you can monitor the tests from there.
Good. No problem, Victor. What will you need?
A couple of standard mode multiplexer channels should do it.
All right, I'll see to it right away.
And Mora, would you mind setting up a visual link? Just in case.
Just in case of what?
I am not sure, but this whole business with the statue has everyone on edge around here. Even though it is gone, something about it is still here. Something quiet and dark.
Something invisible that waits in silent shadow, watching. Something the pilot and co-pilot of the lunar shuttle carrying the statue are unaware of.
Blue you'd better go ahead and start the pre-ignition cycle for the retros. It looks like we picked up about 3 minutes when I cleared the booster nozzles.
3 minutes, 18 seconds to be exact. It just came up on the ETA monitor. I'll let Starlab know we're going to be...
Well, meteorite puncture. Right through number 4 cargo bay. That was just as in our day, Lou.
Oh, boy. How big's the hole?
Little over 3 centimeters, according to the hull sensor. About the size of a marble.
Marble, huh? Steely, cat's eye, or shooter?
What?
Technical talk, Frank. I guess you didn't shoot marbles when you were a kid.
No, I lost mine by the time I was 13.
Give me my helmet. I'll go back and seal up that hole.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the closest I ever got to marbles after that was Chinese checkers.
Do you still play?
Oh, once in a while.
Well, let's have a game or two when we get to Starland.
Oh, all right. $5 a game.
Make it 10 and you're on.
Sold. Lunar Shuttle 19 to Starlab.
Starlab, go ahead.
We're making better time than I thought. Our revised ETA is 10 minutes, 10 seconds.
Roger. Your new docking coordinates are 08 Alpha. Approach vector 2902.
Thanks, Starlab. How's it going back there, Lou?
The meteorite sheared the top off the pod with a statue in it. The liquid oxygen's leaking out.
Well, I told you it wasn't our day. Have you sealed the hole?
In the hull, yeah. There's not much I can do about the pod.
Well, they said to keep the statue on ice. Tell you what, flood the hole with chill vapor from the fire control system. That should keep it cold enough until we dock.
Frank, there's something moving around back here.
Well, what is it?
I don't know. It's hard to see anything through the chill vapor. Frank!
Ah! Hey, no!
Ancient shadow creature is loose aboard Lunar Shuttle 19. The sound of its unearthly fury merges with a terrified scream of co-pilot Lou Stratton. Then, silence. Pilot Frank Hollister activates the visual scanner in Cargo Bay 4.
Oh my God. Lou!
Firing the shuttle's booster rockets, he accelerates toward the safety of Starlab, bringing with him the demon spirit of an alien world. Alien Worlds continues. Decaying alien spacecraft, the mummified bodies of 50 extraterrestrial humanoids, and a black crystal gargoyle have been found buried beneath the surface of the moon. The gargoyle is taken to the science complex at Lunar Base 12, where during a routine thermal experiment, it begins to radiate an ultraviolet glow that causes terrifying hallucinations. Discovering that the statue is inert when cold, Professor Victor Conrad seals it into a liquid oxygen pod and sends it to Starlab aboard Lunar Shuttle 19. 10 minutes away from the giant space station, the hull of the shuttle is penetrated by a tiny meteorite that splits open the statue's pod. The shuttle's co-pilot goes to Cargo Bay 4 to repair the meteorite puncture, and is suddenly attacked by something dark and unearthly.
It's all there in the flight recorder, Dr. Cassidy. How many times do I have to go through this?
This is the last time, Lieutenant, I promise.
It won't work.
What do you mean? What won't work?
All this interrogation. You're not going to trap me into saying anything I haven't said before.
Look, no one's trying to trap you.
Oh, come on. Who do you think you're kidding? Yesterday it was the security officer, Major Wheeler. Last night it was Dr. Rossiter. Today it's you. You're working up a psychological profile on me, right?
You're wrong, Lieutenant. None of us had any intention of...
Lee Stratton was my best friend, Dr. Cassidy. But there just wasn't anything I could do.
When did you realize it was too late?
When I switched on the visual scanner and saw him hanging upside down from the storage rafter. His face. The look on his face.
What else did you see?
The statue. Sitting there in the corner, looking up at him.
Professor Conrad?
Yes, I'm right here.
I've got Starlab on Scrambler Channel F. It's Dr. Cassidy.
Good, good. Patch her through.
Victor, Lieutenant Stratton's autopsy report just came off the computer. I have the grid out here in front of me.
Anything definite on the cause of death?
No, there were too many variables. But the projections range all the way from 6 kinds of heart failure to terminal neuroinduction.
Terminal neuro... You don't mean death by psychic suggestion?
That's what it says here.
What about the black crystals in his eyes and nervous system?
They're identical to those you took from the bodies of the extraterrestrials. But Mycroft couldn't compute either the source or the structure.
What else?
His brain. It was 364 grams lighter than the average for a man his age.
What about the size?
Well, that's what's so strange, Victor. The size wasn't changed at all, just the weight. What do you think?
I think I'll go ahead with the experiments on the statue samples we've kept here.
I don't know, Victor. The statue arrived at the ISA lab an hour ago. Well, couldn't you at least wait till they've had a chance to look it over?
We can't afford to postpone the experiments any longer. Whatever happened on the shuttle might happen again. Besides, we've got a 48-hour head start on ISA. We may as well take advantage of it.
All right. Victor, have you come up with anything to explain how the statue got out of the pod?
Not unless you're willing to accept the possibility that the statue really isn't a statue at all, but some kind of transmorphic creature that feeds off the psychic energy of intelligent beings.
Well, I'm going to have to think about that. Good luck with the test. And please, Victor, be careful.
We will.
You got a minute, Victor?
Of course, Rachel. Come on in.
We just finished the comparative analysis of the scanner tapes we made of the statue when it was here and the scanner data of the statue transmitted from Star Lab. I don't know if you're ready for this. We weren't. But the statue's changed.
Changed? In what way?
Well, the scan made after the shuttle incident shows that it's 60 millimeters taller than it was when it left here.
Are you sure?
We cross-checked everything.
What else?
Well, the face. It's not looking straight ahead anymore. It's looking up at an angle of 57 degrees.
Go on.
The statue's heavier by 364 grams.
As the mystery of the black crystal gargoyle deepens, so does the urgency to discover and resolve its supernatural secrets. At Lunar Base 12 Science Complex, Professor Conrad and his research team prepare a photon saturation test on 2 small crystal samples removed from the statue during an earlier experiment.
Rachel, will you please ask Arthur and Misha to meet me in conference room 4? I'd like to have a word with them before we start. And you had better join us, too.
Right away, Victor.
Back aboard Star Lab, preparation of a visual link between Starlab Control and the interior of Professor Conrad's moon laboratory is supervised by Maura Cassidy.
Sally, I think the visual feed from Lunar Base should be cross-linked with Mycroft. That way, if something goes wrong with the VTR, we can always retrieve the pictures from the computer.
Okay, I'll have it programmed in about 15 minutes.
On Earth, the statue arrives at the ISA Research Center and is locked in a refrigerated laboratory vault, where ISA technicians begin their own experiments.
All right. Let's shave off a couple of 2-micron specimens and get them under the electron microscope.
Hideous damp creature, isn't it? Wonder what it's looking up at.
Meanwhile, Captains John Graydon and Buddy Griff bank the SET interceptor Solaris away from the freighter convoy they've been escorting to the Tinian 3 shipping lanes and jet towards Starlab.
Did they ever figure out what it was?
Not really. Scientific opinion was divided about 70-30.
In favor of an alien spacecraft?
No, in favor of a meteor.
How many people saw the explosion?
Well, there were quite a few villages about 500 miles away, and everyone living in them saw it.
At that distance?
Skipper, when that thing exploded, it lit up the sky as far away as London. And the sky stayed that way for 3 days and nights.
Huh. When did all this happen?
1908.
Amazing. Where do you get these books, anyway?
Ingrid, the librarian on Starlight.
No.
She came across this one while she was looking for an Oscar Wilde novel that Maura wanted to read.
And what made her think that you'd be interested?
The title. It's called The Fire Came By.
Starlab Control to Solaris.
This is Solaris. Go ahead, Jerry.
Maura'd like to speak with you.
Put her on.
John, do you have enough fuel to take a side trip to the moon?
Buddy?
Yeah, we're okay.
What do you want us to do, Maura?
I've scheduled a conference with Professor Conrad. Pick him up at Lunar Base 12 and bring him here. He's starting an experiment now, but he should be finished by the time you get there.
Okay, we'll take care of it, Maura.
Hello, buddy. Goodbye, buddy.
Cute, Maura. Cute.
In the science complex at Lunar Base 12, Professor Conrad places a sample of the statue into a Stellatron Systems PC-80 photon chamber. On Starlab, Maura watches by remote visual link as Professor Conrad seals the chamber, sits down at a control console, and presses a button. Radiant white light illuminates the chamber's observation ports as the needle-thin beams of 6 neothane zellium lasers penetrate the statue's specimen, a fragment of night chipped from the lightless atmospheres of an alien world. Alien Worlds continues. As John and Buddy jet toward the moon aboard the Solaris, Professor Conrad and his research team move into the second stage of their photon saturation test with a black crystal gargoyle specimen. On Starlab, Maura monitors the experiment by remote visual link. On one screen, a wide-angle interior view of Professor Conrad's moon laboratory. On a second screen, the bright metal pyramid-shaped photon chamber.
Rachel, the spectroscope is starting to shift out of phase. Will you please check it?
Right away, Victor.
Arthur, what was your last refractive index reading?
It didn't even register. The crystals are absorbing all coherent light up to 8,000 angstroms.
All right. Let's switch over to the neon borazine lasers. Program them for a 1 milliradian beam, and we'll work our way up from there.
All right.
How are you doing, Maura?
I'm not quite sure. I don't think I should have had whatever that was I had for lunch. I get some pretty weird food around here sometimes.
Well, chew a couple of papaya enzyme tablets. They'll fix you up in no time. And if you wish to stretch your legs or anything, you'd better do it now. This next part of the experiment is going to take a while.
No, I think I'll just sit here and plan my revenge on the Starlab chef.
We're ready, Victor.
It looks like intermission's over, Maura. All right, Rachel. Turn them loose.
Oh, my God.
Victor! Victor!
Dr. Cassidy, what's going on? I just lost all telemetry from Lunar Base.
Look, there's been an explosion. Jerry, contact the Solaris and tell them to get to Lunar Base 12 as fast as they can.
Starlight Control to Solaris.
Starlight Control to Solaris.
Sally, get hold of the ISA lab and tell them to stop their experiments with the statue until they hear from me.
This is Solaris. Go ahead, Jerry.
I'm on my way.
I've got the Solaris, Mara.
We're coming up on it now, Mara.
Have you had any radio contact with him?
No, not a word. Even the microwave safety beacon has stopped transmitting. Skipper, screen 5. My God, what happened?
John, buddy, what is it? What do you see?
Mara, Lunar Base 12 no longer exists.
What do you mean?
It's been blown to pieces, completely leveled. The entire base. Skipper, screen 6.
Buddy, what is it? What's happening?
A ship, just above the horizon. It's moving away from us. Magnify it, buddy.
Looks something like an old Tarantula-class gunship, except it's about 5 times bigger. Jerry, record this.
We're rolling.
It's black. Stacked wings angle down about 60 degrees. Yellow markings that look like Cyrillic script, only upside down. Geez, Skipper, what do you make of that?
Keep talking, buddy.
Short black spikes are starting to bristle out all over the hull. Uh-oh, Skipper, it's turning around.
Mara, stand by. We're going in for a closer look at that ship. Open a close proximity channel, buddy. Let's see if they'll talk to us.
You're on, Skipper.
This is Earthship Solaris. Please identify yourself.
Skipper, let's get some altitude before their aim improves.
This is Earthship Solaris. Our intentions are not hostile. Please... All right. I'll try it one more time, but that is it.
You better let me do it, Skipper. Every time you talk to them, they shoot at us.
Solaris, there is still time.
Time for what?
Escape.
From what?
Ask your dead brothers and sisters on the wasteland below us.
Damn you. You did that? You murdered all those people? But why?
They were committing sacrilege.
Just who the... Who are you?
Disciples.
Of what?
Lightlessness.
I've had about all of this I can take. Hold on, buddy.
Skipper, lightning is pouring out of those spikes and crawling all over the hull of their ship.
Activate the rest of the laser turrets, buddy. We're going around again.
Didn't even phase him, Skipper. That lightning soaked up our lasers like a sponge. We're hit. Flame out on number 4 thruster. There goes number 2. The starboard fuel pods are split open. Skipper, if we don't get out of here now, we'll have to set her down on the moon.
I don't want to leave that ship to Starlab.
Solaris, we are aware of the thing you name. Don't concern yourself with its safety. It is one of our destinations.
Come on, Skipper. It's now or never.
Use docking bay 4, John. The crash barriers are up and the fire control crew is standing by.
John, where's that ship?
Right behind us. Turn your seat around, buddy. Here we go.
John! Buddy, are you all right?
We're okay. Come on, buddy. Let's get out of here.
Mara, the alien ship. Screen 10.
Listen to me, Starlab.
Who are you?
I am Stygos, High Priest of the Trail. You have stolen the symbol of our redemption.
The symbol? The statue?
Narl is his rightful name. We have traced him to your moon. We know his presence has graced the machine you live in. Where is he?
I don't know.
Then take your last look at the stars.
The Trail. A race of bloodless shadow beings, searching for their symbol of redemption. An icon of lightless crystal, representing the dark god Narl. An ancient demon creature, creeping through the starless dimensions of alien worlds.
Attention,
Part 1 of the ISA conspiracy, The Darkbringers, was written by Ron Thompson. Our cast included Linda Gary, Chuck Olson, Bruce Miller, and Corey Burton, with special guest stars Byron Kane, Charles McGraw, Molly Dodd, and Ernie Anderson. Associate producer, Jeff Allen. Music director, Tom Rounds. Engineer, Stu Jacobs. Assistant to the producer, Roger Brossi. Alien Worlds was created, produced, and directed by Lee Hansen and is distributed by Watermark Incorporated. And so until next week, this is Roger Dressler inviting you to join us for part two of the ISA conspiracy on Alien Worlds.